Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
Dino Long. Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Right back in. Here we go.
You never know what's going to happen in a given game, and we love that about sports. Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. I can tell you this. You do know every Monday after an Illinois football game that we'll have Jay Layman in the house. Jay, what's up, man?
Yeah, buddy. Hey, guys, we're back. We believe
we believe
that we're going to a bowl game. We have an outside shot at the Big Ten West.
Yes.
Oh, this is the life of an Illinois West. We are high on the hopium right now.
You know what I thought about this weekend on Sunday, yesterday, while I was sitting there watching the game again? I started thinking to myself, what we ought to do is trade places with two or three guys from West Lafayette. And here's what I mean. We should talk about Purdue football because we don't have – you know, we're not invested like we are here, and have them break down Illinois football because I live and die with them.
Right.
Like, they lost two in a row, and I'm like, the program sucks. I don't ever want to go to an Illinois football game
again.
You
didn't even show up last week, Clive.
Right?
You were gone.
You
said, I'm out. I'm done. I'm just like, yeah, Lon's not here today.
Then they win. You know, then they win, and, like, you almost have to be apologetic. Like, you have to be like, I'm so sorry I said those things.
I think Barry and Aaron Henry and
they're great
and
guys.
You know, we got to get this.
We're just too high and too low is what we are. That's what my good buddy Rich Heron always used to say. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. But it's too easy not to just go down a path of here we go.
But let's be real. That Nebraska game.
It was bad.
The way they played in that Nebraska game, they would not have beat another team on the schedule.
Huh.
Okay. So, like, when that's the last thing that you see, you're kind of like, what in the world was that?
Right.
And I know every game is different. I understand that. But when they played like that against Nebraska, you got beat by 25 against Purdue. What are we supposed to say?
I agree.
Right?
Exactly. I agree.
What are you supposed to say? They're like, oh, well, how do we ever say that? Well, because we saw that. Now, I will say this. I've been critical. Hats off to Brett Bielema, Barry Lunny, Aaron Henry on getting them ready to play, making them believe they could win, and going on the road and winning. I think he's got a winning Big Ten record.
Yeah.
Not at home.
Right.
But on the road. Correct?
It's amazing.
I think on the road, he's one game over 500, Brett is.
Wow.
Can I touch to something real quick on that?
Yes, please.
2021, his first year, the big game that year. I don't know if the unexpected game was Penn State, right? 9 overtimes, you beat Penn State. Last year, when you had a good season going, you went into Michigan, who was ranked in the top, 4, I think, and you didn't think there was a chance, right?
Right.
Illinois loses 19-17 at Michigan. This year, you're struggling. You go back on the road at Maryland, a team that everybody in the Big Ten is high on. They just played Ohio State pretty tough for a half,
right?
And you win that game. So that's 3 straight years. I know the Michigan game was a loss, but 3 straight years where right in the middle of a schedule, Brett Bielema's taken an Illinois squad on the road, and they have performed as well as they did in any game.
100%. 100%. He's got something going on with understanding how to get these guys to rally around themselves and believe when nobody else is believing.
Agree.
I mean, I was as down on Illinois football after watching Nebraska play. Let's remember, guys, and I hate to to bring up old stuff. We have two kickoffs that weren't even caught. One that was recovered by Nebraska. We had two plays from the 1 foot line we couldn't get across. We had multiple turnovers. We had Nebraska give us the ball back multiple times. We couldn't do anything. So when they play like that, I have no problem saying they're not going to win another game this year if they play like this.
Exactly.
Now, it's a totally different team this year, but this week, most notably because of the offensive line.
Yes.
And it seems like in these games, you either know in the first quarter or not if they're going to be able to move the ball.
Yep.
When they went out and played Penn State 2 years ago, to your point, they could run the ball from the jump.
They could.
They ran for like 350 yards.
Yep.
They could run the ball from the jump at least adequately in this game. First play, 12 yards. They just played a whole lot better up front. Tight ends blocked better. They've been playing good all year, but the interior offensive line played a lot better.
Caden Fagan, I know he gets banged up in that game, but he had, 19 carries for 84 yards, gets his touchdown. Like, sure. A lot of people excited about the future for him. What are you seeing? I know up front it starts there for anybody that has the ball behind them, but what's he do so well? And we'd love to see him get that call down there by the goal line too.
Sure.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. He's never going to be a 40-yard dash or 40-yard, run guy.
Yeah.
He's going to have a lot of 4 to 14-yard runs. That's what he's going to be. He's not going to be a burner, but that's not saying he doesn't have good speed for his size.
Right,
I believe
right.
he does. But what I like about Caden Fagan, what they did specifically on the O-line is they changed up from a zone scheme to a gap scheme. A gap scheme is a lot more pins and pulls, guys pulling around. And that's a little bit easier for a younger running back to know, okay, I follow that pulling lineman, and that's where my hole is. Where a zone is, where Chase Brown was more like, hey, I'm going to run sideways for a couple steps, and then I have the acceleration to put my foot in the ground, get vertical, where the hole's at.
Interesting.
So they went a little bit more with some counter plays, some tight end, what I call tight end wham plays. They're kind of like a tight end power. We saw a little bit of power, but we saw that. We saw him out of the pistol. We saw him out of the shotgun. It allowed him to get vertical. And to be honest, Zy Crystal and Isaiah Adams played like we thought they were going to play this
year.
For maybe the first game, both of those guys have done that together. I think Isaiah has been better than Zy, but they were collapsing the line. They were moving the line of scrimmage. And this is the first game because we started well. I actually thought I got to see a Barry Lenny game plan.
That's a great
that we
point.
We called games from ahead. Mm-hmm. We were ahead in the game, and we could actually mix some stuff in here and there with a shot there or a shot there because we could count on getting 3-4 yards a run and be ahead of schedule. The whole year against a Power 5 opponent, we've been down 14 points.
We have. Can I jump in? How hard is it for an offensive line all of a sudden to go from what did you call it to what?
Well, I mean we have zone blocking where, like, everybody goes in a direction and blocks a zone. And then you have gap schemes, which is, hey, there's pins and pulls where, hey, guy's going to block down and you're going to have somebody pull around.
Got it.
Brett's kept saying this phrase, and I've kept wondering about it. We talked about this pipes. Is we got to find out what these guys can do.
Mm-hmm.
And
gotta ask I heard you say that.
Got to ask them to do that. It looks to me, whether it's with Caden Fagan being back or whatever, they're more comfortable blocking when they're pulling and down blocking as opposed to zone blocking. They've had these plays in the repertoire. I've seen them before. We just saw a much heavier dose
okay. Makes
of
sense.
This.
Great explanation.
And it makes it easier. I Caden Fagan, a couple times in the Nebraska game, didn't have the vision to actually pick up the first down. It was blocked. What I like about the gap scheme is you don't necessarily have to have the vision. You're just following the blocker. It's kind of like when you're teaching junior football, hey, power, counter, lead. Hey, follow that guy
right.
as a running back and go. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a hole there. Where Chase was like, I'm going to do what I kind of want on the zone play because I can.
Great stuff.
So that's what I would say.
Great stuff.
I know we'll probably jump around chronologically here, but I did want to go to the fourth quarter where Illinois has a lead, and they just continue to give Maryland chances. Now, credit to that defense for standing tall and being able to put yourself in a good situation even after the field goal for Illinois to have a chance to go down the field and make a play, which they did. Casey Washington with another huge catch in crunch time. I mean,
Casey Mossington.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Good call.
If you guys doesn't get a ton of separation, but contested catches, the Toledo one and that one against Maryland, the difference between winning and losing, really.
Guy's got Moss magic. He's had two or three catches this year where we were like, well, he went up and got it, was aggressive with it. Like you said, not a ton of separation. Here's what I liked about the offense is that we ran the ball, but we had some shots too. Had the shot to Pat Bryant. Pat Bryant, who I thought started with a bang and had a pretty, he would say this, pretty lackluster games 3 through 6. Drop balls, wasn't getting separation. Luke was running for his life half those games, so it's not all Pat Bryant. Pat Bryant's made two big plays last 2 weeks. I mean, as far as the legitimate deep threat, he's got some big plays. So you had Pat Bryant have a big play. You had Casey have a big play. You had Isaiah, who could have had a big play if he would have held on to that ball.
Yes.
That was broken up. So we're taking some shots down the field. It helps when you can actually run the football, though. And I think that's the key. When you can run the football, we can do a lot of things. If we can't run the football, we'll get beat by every team.
Yep.
We cannot beat teams just throwing the football. We're not built that way. Okay, guys, like talk about being built different. We ain't built different. Dude, we're just built to run the ball.
And we're being outgained, by the way, on the ground, 164 to 128 average a game.
Right.
So that, yeah, to your point, you can't win games if you don't outrush them.
But I will say this. So switching gears to the defense here. This defense, they've had their moments. I understand. We saw some improvement against Nebraska. They had a tough game against Purdue, obviously. We saw some real improvement against Maryland. Guys, this is a football team against Maryland that – you know, they had scored a ton of points other than the Ohio State game. Mm-hmm. Lots of big play. Caden Prather, former four-star prospect, big old body. He got us one or two times. Ty Felton, Jayshon Jones, who's been there for like 7 years. He's been longer than Juice Williams played here, which was forever. Or Alex Pelcheski. They've had a bunch of guys that have been there a long time offensively. And I think our back seven, although banged up, right? We got Zach Tobe got banged up. And the game plan was, let's go after Tyler Strain. Let's just take as many shots on Tyler Strain as we can. And he had a penalty, but the most part, he responded. But I feel like Miles Scott's getting better. He had a good first game, kind of struggled the last couple games. But really, our linebackers. I've seen Kenanea Odaluga get better and better and better. He's around the ball. Dylan Rosiak's our best linebacker right now. Not only his ability to play downhill, his ability to get off blocks, his ability to blitz. And James Cruz just keeps showing up every now and then when he gets a chance.
There was a play late in that fourth quarter. It might have been the drive where Maryland settles for the field goal, but Talia pulls it, goes outside, and Rosiak's pretty much on an island, has to make a play by himself. How tough is that for a linebacker, especially against a dual threat type of quarterback?
That's the land of Mike linebacker nightmares right there. It's like, I'm in space. There's lots of grass. The guy with the ball's probably a better athlete than me, and I got 40, 50,000 fans watching me.
You talked like you were there once.
Oh, I've been there. And, you know, you don't hear much when you play football other than you hear pops of injuries, which is bad, like, oh, that's an injury.
Yeah.
Or you hear the crowd in a home game go, oh, when you miss a tackle. Like, oh! And that's pretty much it. Or conversely, in the road, it's like, yeah, when you miss a tackle, right? And so it's like everything slows down. Like, I get Chariots of Fire music, everything, right? And you're in space, and it's like, is my jockstrap going to be left here on the 5-yard line? Or am I going to make this play, right? So anyway, Dylan Rosiak, great play. Yep. Tackle in space. He's impressed me how he's tackled in space, although undersized. Ability to play with great leverage, you get off the blocks.
Tied for the team lead and tackles, Dylan Rosiak. I want to ask you, Aiden Loffrey comes in, very first play, picks up a blitz on the other side, which leads to a Pat Bryant touchdown from Luke Altmyer. It got me thinking, when a running back does that, it's for everyone to see, right? And you're like, man, that was awesome on Loffrey's part. How often do they not do that? How tough was that play for his first play of the game as a freshman, basically, to come in, not his first play ever, but in that game, to come in and see that? And how important is a running back being utilized as a blocker in an offense?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You don't know where these defensive linemen are coming from, right?
Right.
That's the advantage of a defense. The offense knows the play, but on the other side, the defense can do different things once snap just because they don't got to stay there, right?
Yeah.
And what's so hard about being an offensive lineman is it's the only position in sports you have to have your back to the ball. I mean, there's a lot – in every other sport, you're watching the ball. You got to know where the ball's at. You've got to have your back to the ball. So your quarterback, you think you're protecting him. He could be outside the pocket now, and you're giving up a sack, right? So it's really unfair. What I think what a running back's able to do is clean up and adjust much better than an offensive lineman because they have more space to react to the movement. So Illinois really struggled with movement, and so we've had to have the running backs really clean up. So when they do miss – it's pretty obvious that it's going to be a sack, but he's able to clean up stuff. They're also able to do protections. Like a slide protection is really easy for a running back because everyone, the whole line's going to slide to one side of the right, and the running back has to get to the left side, right? We're also utilizing tight ends a lot in protection using a max protection concept where we have seven, maybe eight blockers and two receivers out so that we can pick up some of those things.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of tight end wing positions, right?
Right.
So they're in the wing not only to pull but protect. That puts you off the line of scrimmage. A lot of times you'll see tackles in the NFL like, are those guys even on the line of scrimmage?
Exactly.
Right? It's because the more space they can get from the defensive lineman, the easier
it
is to block.
Pipesy's got me picturing five offensive linemen staring at the quarterback, flipping the ball to the quarterback, and then just boxing out like basketball. That would be, you know, nobody's ever done it.
Yeah. Right.
Although you'd be offsides.
It's just a real strange thing, right? I mean, right. The offensive line never actually looks at the football.
No, it is
right?
funny. You don't think
in fact,
of it.
You have to teach young linemen when they're, you know, fifth, sixth grade, don't block for a second and look for the ball because they'll do that. They'll want to watch the play. They've actually got to block and finish their block.
Got it.
And then they'll find out where the ball's at the end of the play. Very hard for a young football player to get that.
I bet.
Jay, before we catch a break, I want to ask you, Luke Altmyer. Now, there's a lot of guys on this team that have gone through some ups and downs, some adversity, but this is a guy you mentioned earlier in this segment. He's had to run for his life. He, of course, have had some issues with turnovers.
Sure.
How do you feel like this moment could be one that he can build on going forward? A young quarterback, inexperienced quarterback, but made some big plays, including the throw to Casey Washington and also a really nice run in that last drive, too,
sure,
to set up Caleb Griffin for the field goal.
So what I like about him, first and foremost, is the intangibles. I think he's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's taken some shots,
yeah,
you know, almost hurt himself on that slide, it looked like, when he took his slide. But, you know, he's tough. He showed that he can do. He's got two game-winning drives. I mean, that's something to be.
That's true.
Right? We've got to give him credit for that. Engineered a touchdown in 2 minutes at the end of the first half, at the end of the second half. All the things in the critical situations that Illinois has done poorly, they did well in this game. Short yardage, red zone, getting turnovers in 2 minutes. Luke Altmyer has done that, and as a first-year starter, they have two comeback wins. Hey, that's impressive, right? One of them on the road against a 5-1 team, all right? I think he throws a pretty decent deep ball, which I've liked to see. He's got a deep ball. He's got to hit more singles and doubles, though. We talked about the Jeremy Warner.
Yeah,
you know,
read
today,
that. Yeah.
You know, he does have to. There was a wide open Isaiah Williams in the end zone, the out route. You know, I always chuckle because you're on the two-yard line. What's the one pass play runs? To the flat, right?
Yeah, everybody.
100%. To the flat right there. Here comes the flat right.
Never stopped.
The rub route. And, of course, Maryland hit us on it, right? The first, maybe the first or second touchdown. They bootleg and hit Greeley in the flat. It's like what Coach Boone says in Remember the Titans, like Novocaine, man. Always works, just give it time.
Just
right?
give it time.
That's what Coach Boone told me with Remember the Titans. Great flick, though. Probably you guys are probably – you guys. Me and Derek saw that, you know, probably after Lon's time.
Yeah,
but,
I saw it. Somebody recommended it, so I went back and watched.
Yeah, it was to the right sweet spot for us, between 10 and 20 years old or whatever you are. So that being said, I think he does that. He's got to do a better job, I would say. So early on, he got the ball out really quick, okay? Threw a lot of picks.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, he's kind of held on to the ball because I don't want to throw picks, take a lot of sacks. Mm-hmm. Find the happy medium. When to throw it away, and if you're going to throw it away, just throw it to the bleachers, right? Throw it to the upper deck. And if you're going to, you know, but if you want to hold on to it, you got to move and try to avoid the sack.
I know we got to catch a break. I've got another Altmyer question I want to ask when we come back from that break, but I know we've got great sponsors make this hour happen.
Iroquois Federal is our title sponsor. Second year in a row, they have said, you know what, we're going to be the title sponsor because they believe not only in 93.5, but they believe in Illinois football. They're a big supporter of Illinois football.
And Jay Lehman.
Yep, Iroquois Federal. Yeah, me too, I guess. Mark McHale, Bob Guido, Ryan Lowry. Ryan Lowry just did a loan from me last week. Thanks, Ryan. You're the man. Bob Guido, always the best. Brenda Crane, saw her in there. There's a location, Savoy, just south of Savoy, 16 Theaters. I don't even know if it's called Savoy 16. I always call it Savoy 16. Still, I think it is.
I do as well, yeah.
I do too. When right I Google it, I do that.
On Savoy. But we're talking about Iroquois Federal, so it's in Savoy there. And it's at the crossing at Windsor and Duncan in Champaign for all of your loan needs and for your insurance needs. I got to tell you guys, Kyle Lewis, Kyle at IPGINS.com. That's Kyle at IPG Insurance. Auto, home, life, habitational. I use him for auto and home. and habitational. Hard to get habitational for anybody to write any kind of properties these days, right? So if you got rental properties, you got to talk to Kyle Lewis, my personal insurance agent. And of course, Long Branch Steakhouse. See, I talk about it so much on Monday, I want to eat. It's kind of closed on Monday. But Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., beautiful downtown eclectic Gifford, as Lon would say. And here's the deal. You got to try the fried pickles. Guys, the fried pickles are where it's at. If you go there, ask for the fried pickles. And sometimes we'll have a tomahawk ribeye. Let's go.
I had a buddy at a tailgate come up, and he's like, hey, I hear you guys on Monday. And Jay Layman was talking about these fried pickles. He finally went over and had them. He'd been to Long Branch before, but he never had the fried pickles. And he's like, tell Jay, those were freaking awesome.
I tell you, everybody, that's how we're known for the fried pickles. Yeah, I found out that a guy kept saying, dude, I heard you love the fried pickles. I record one ad. So now it's my shtick to say.
No, it's perfect.
The fried pickles. You got to try the fried pickles. Best fried pickers in the state of Illinois. Let's go.
I need to get them. Yes. I need to get them. On the other side of this break, Lon will ask more about Luke Altmyer. We'll hit up the text line, 217-359-2255. On the U of I, Atlanta Link text line, to Kevin's point, that's for Jay's prediction the rest of the season. Well, that's some big picture stuff. Where does Illinois go from here? What does this mean? What does the path forward look like in a pretty complicated Big Ten West?
No doubt.
You're, of course, going to need Iowa to slip up. They're not getting any quarterback play, but they're still winning.
But you're saying there's a chance, Harry Carey, right?
Saying there's a chance.
They're not mathematically eliminated yet.
It's the opposite of last year. We're gonna win every game going down the stretch.
Boy, Lon is really
this is dangerous.
He's off the ledge. He's back into the mezzanine suite, into the penthouse suite.
Oh, boy. We'll sort all this through when we come back. It is The Drive.
Stevie J Broadcasting is excited to be part of our U of I homecoming festivities with the parade on Friday, October 20th, heading north by Memorial Stadium on 4th Street starting at 5:30 p.m., then west on Gregory to 1st Street, where the pep rally with the Marching Illini begins at 6:30.
Hey, this is Derek Piper from The Drive. We're doing our show from Pia's Friday, October 20th, beginning at 3 p.m. Come out and join us.
I can't wait. And we're going to have some special guests, Derek Piper. How about former Illinois players? Martin O'Donnell, love hearing him. Great player on that offensive line.
Enjoy Twisted Tea drink specials, prizes, and tickets to the homecoming game as well against Wisconsin that Saturday.
Pia's 1609 Springfield Avenue in Champaign with a team from Stevie J Broadcasting saying, go Illini!
Sweet Home Illini. Learn about all the festivities at homecoming.illinois.edu.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Amazing selection, price, and style. On hardwoods, laminates, carpet, and tile. Low prices on high fashion. Step up the flooring that gets a wow reaction. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Flooring Surfaces now offers beautiful window fashions. Our interior design team will custom fit shade, shutters, and blinds to any size opening. Visit the showroom to see the latest fashions from Graber and Hunter Douglas, or request an in-home consultation. Whether it's floors or windows, Flooring Surfaces has you covered. See us today at 401 Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men in a Truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, Two Men in a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com. Two Men
in a Truck. The Champagne Center Partnership invites the community to join in the holiday festivities happening in downtown Champaign during the 23rd annual Parade of Lights presented by Christie Clinic on Saturday, November 25th. You can be part of the holiday magic by sponsoring, volunteering, or entering a float in the parade. Early float registration ends on Halloween. Visit champagnecenter.com for all the details. Can't wait to see you in downtown Champaign the Saturday following Thanksgiving for the Parade of Lights.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Omaha.
Green 40 Lizard.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper.
Green 40
ESPN
Lizard. That's a good one.
I've got to tell him the story. So
go for it.
It's Jake Plummer's first year as the starting quarterback for the Phoenix Cardinals. Then he goes up. It's the first play of the year, guys. First play of the year, and the Cardinals are on TV. Must have been playing Dallas or something.
Yeah, because they weren't on there.
No,
they were good.
No. He goes up to the line, and he starts calling the play, and he's looking around, and in his mind, this play's not going to work. So he's got to call an audible, so he immediately takes one step back and looks down the line at, like, Rob Moore or whoever his receiver was, and he does, like, the sign, yeah, like, peace, not peace, but whatever that
like
is.
Calabunga, like Calabunga, kind of
yeah,
like
yeah,
a surf sign.
And he looks right at the receiver, which has the – and they're shooting him from the side. So he's got a close-up on his face, and he goes, Lizard! Lizard! So that must have been the audible. So then he gets back up under the center, and then he calls timeout. First play of the game, the Cardinals can't get a playoff. I'm like, here goes another crap season.
Well, yeah.
He had
some decent years for Denver.
Oh, he did. Well, he got us to the playoffs, and
that's
I said
true.
Back then, I'm like, any quarterback that can get the Cardinals to the playoffs, they're a pretty good quarterback.
Man, and Kurt Warner, man, shoot.
He
made that team. Him and Fitzgerald, gosh.
Unbelievable.
Darnell Dockett wasn't bad, though.
No, he wasn't.
Darnell Dockett was a beast. Here, you want to go see a good YouTube high school film? Go watch Darnell Dockett's high school film. Oh, my gosh.
I can't imagine what that would
it
be like.
It is monstrous. It is like legs like tree trunks. Back when Florida State was getting dudes like Alabama got dudes.
Yes.
That was Darnell Dockett.
He was
I'm really aging myself, man. Throwing some NFL guys
right
out here, everything. Gosh.
Sorry, Pipes.
All right.
I'm talking during the break.
No, you got an Altmaier question.
I do. So we had by the way, I got a shout out to Matt Lang, who joined us Friday talking about high school football. He called.
Call the win, yeah.
Now, Hans called the win, but Hans always calls an Illinois win. Matt actually said, I think this team is going to go pick up a win at Maryland. And so kudos to Matt Lang, former Fisher football coach. He does a great podcast, Third and Lang. So it's a great, if you're interested in high school football, definitely check that out. So congrats to him. All right, Altmaier. We had a wine walk down in Villa Grove on Saturday.
There's wine walks in Villa Grove?
Oh, it's second annual. We sold 180 some tickets. The town was hopping. It was awesome. So at the end, everybody was like, Tay's got the game on. If you want to see the end of the Illinois game, go down to the Hillard Agency. So I've got probably 30 people jammed into my office. Like, I couldn't get any more in there. And we were watching the game, right? And I was laughing. Well, Altmaier did something wrong, and somebody was like, oh, that guy, I can't stand him and everything. And I said to myself, okay, is he playing well? Let me ask you this. Is he having a good season? I know you just talked about that. And when he takes sacks, how much is on him, or is he literally just been running for his life this entire season?
Well, overall, for a first-year starter, I don't think he's
horrible. I don't think it's horrible at all.
We've seen some horrible quarterback plays. I mean, think about the names that have strolled through the quarterbacks over the last decade, guys. We could name a lot, right? Probably second and
Scott
only
Scott Weaver.
Well, that's going way back. I mean, Corin Taylor played some. Played some quarterback.
Chase Crouch.
Cam Thomas.
Oh my goodness.
Jeff George Jr.
You want to talk about quarterback plays that players that were not Big Ten quarterback?
No, I agree.
Good guys. I agree. Bad Big Ten quarterbacks. Luke's not anywhere close to that.
No. Eight touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 63% completion percentage. That's more up Piper's alley. 224 yards a game. I think he's played pretty stinking well.
He's running for his life.
And he's running the ball a lot.
But he's. I think he's going to take a huge jump from this year next year as a starter, right? He's running for his life. Has he made some mistakes? Yeah. I've never seen the guy blame anybody, though.
No.
I listened to the call, and you guys is coming up at 4:05 today. You guys need to stay tuned to that. But he's always super humble. He takes ownership of it.
He does.
And I think he's looked at already as a leader on that football team, for sure. For sure. When I watched him, what they do. And he's got 2 game-winning drives.
Yeah, you said that. That's a good
point. It's not like he's not a – and that's what quarterbacks are doing. It's not like he's not clutch on some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When he's needing to make throws, he's made some good throws.
Jay, I want to hit up a couple of the texts here.
Yes.
You can call me Sal on the U of I Atlanta League text line. I'm really confused about what part of the ledge to be on now.
Well, Lod got off the ledge. He's in the penthouse.
Come join me.
He's in the jacuzzi hanging out. He believes that this is the team, the opposite of last year.
Rose Bowl.
How about Kevin Hawkins? What's my prediction for the rest of the season? You know, I'm going to say 3-5. I think we got Indiana and Northwestern. I think we got them locked in.
Okay.
It's who we're going to beat between Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa. That's
two of those teams without quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks at least.
Sure. I mean, but who do we think we can beat out of those? I'd probably say Minnesota is the weaker team.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Wisconsin, you know, Tanner Mordecai got hurt. They haven't been dynamic at all this year, but they probably have played better than we've played overall. So does the Nebraska team show up or does the Maryland team show up?
Yeah.
I don't know. If they play Nebraska, they're not going to beat anybody.
Jay, what's your level of confidence in being able to build on this against Wisconsin without Tanner Mordecai?
Cool.
I think when Mordecai went out, you looked at what Wisconsin did offensively, and it wasn't much. Now, even Brett will say, and you listen to his press conference today,
mm-hmm.
you can't watch the Iowa film and say, okay, they suck without Tanner Mordecai because you're playing Iowa's defense, right? And he got thrown the middle into it. I think it's Braden Locke or Brady Locke or something like that was the backup. And so – But they still lead. They're the air raid, but they lead the league in the division in rushing. I know that. So what's interesting is that they can still run the ball really good. Now, they lost Ches Malusi for the season against against Purdue a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And so Braylon Allen, though, big back, gifted. I think, though, they don't have an offense that I believe can run away from you. Now, neither does Nebraska. But they ran away because of our mistakes a little bit. We were still in that game.
Right.
So this is going to be a game that's going to come down to the critical situations of 2-minute, of short yardage, of red zone, of turnovers. Hey, if we can win those and get to the edge, I don't think they're that much more athletic than us. I think we win this football game. Last week, I would have said no way.
Right.
But I'm off the ledge too.
All right. There you go.
I was laughing and almost interrupted you, Derek, because – we're talking about these West teams that now don't even have a quarterback, right? Don't have their starting quarterback. And in my mind, I started thinking, well, thank goodness we're in the West. But when I read off those 3 games earlier, the Brett Bielema has somehow managed to either win or get to the wire against Michigan when you should have won, really, if I call. Those are all 3 East teams. So in my mind, I was sitting there thinking, okay, you got Penn State, Michigan, Maryland. I'm like, most of the time I'm sitting there thinking, God, thank God we're in the West, you know, and I think that still holds true.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is funny that
that's true.
It's funny. He's gone on the road to the East teams and beaten their butts. But is this team more the Nebraska game or is this team more Maryland?
I think that's
the outlier of the Maryland game.
That's what the question is. This is when I look at the Maryland game. That's how I thought a lot of games would be for Illinois.
Yes.
I thought it would be, it's a game in the fourth, because that's all we've seen really since the Penn State game in 2021. We've been in every game.
Yep.
So, like, there hasn't been a game like, okay, we're out of it. So I thought, like the Maryland game, I sat here and said, hey, we could be 5 wins. We could be 10 wins. Now, I thought 2 of the wins were going to be Nebraska and Purdue. They weren't.
Nope.
I didn't know if Maryland would be. I thought maybe. It was kind of a toss-up.
Kind of makes up for one of them,
but,
right?
Yeah, but what I would say is this, is like, those are what the games we thought they would look like. The first 4 Power 4 games did not look like that. We were out of the game. I mean, we were barely in the game in Nebraska. Never felt like we were going to come back in that game.
Not at all.
But we were out of the game. If we're in the game, I give Brett credit, and I think Altmaier, I believe in Altmaier enough that if it's a toss-up game, we're going to win our fair share.
Yeah.
So if we're in 5 toss-up games, I can see us winning 2 or 3 of those games. That's the way I see it, because we got a quarterback that has shown he can win and is clutch when we need it, and Brett's a pretty good game manager. I'd say he outmanaged Mike Locksley in this on a number of different situations. He made the right call, and Locksley probably would have done differently.
Iowa could go 11-1, and you look at their schedule.
They will go 11-1, I think, unless Illinois beats them.
That's crazy.
I mean,
passing attack is non-existent, and they're not the best.
You don't like Deacon Hill? He threw for 37 yards.
His QBR in the last 2 games out of 100 against Purdue was 2, and this last week was 6.
And they're winning.
And they're winning games.
He is. I mean, the yards per attempt is like 2. And like, first of all, it's like Jared Lorenzen, but like 4 inches taller. Okay. and I mean, I mean, the guy's been throwing in there. I know he was, but this team has, Iowa has more wins by like 6 or 7 of teams that have had less than 250 yards of total offense than anybody in the country since 2020. And it's always special teams, a turnover, a 4th down stop. Here, they actually had some rushing yards. And here's what's scary about Iowa. You want to play Iowa in late September, October, because they tend to get better as the season goes on.
Yep.
And by the time they're going to play us, which I think is week 12, the second to last week of the season, right before, because they play Nebraska the Friday after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. They're going to be on point. Their offensive line's getting better. And now they ran the ball for 200 yards against Wisconsin. So I'm like, oh, boy. That's going to be a tough game.
It seemed like Hayden Fry's Iowa Hawkeyes scored a lot. Now Kirk Ferentz's, it's almost like Kirk Ferentz is like, 3/4 of our schedule's played in cold, windy weather. I'm going to figure out how to stop teams by having the better defense on the field, which gives me and those elements the best chance to win a game.
I would say that's correct. I would also say he wants a ball control, short in the game offense. Whether Ken O'Keefe is the offensive corner, which he was for the first 10 to 15 years, then they brought Greg Davis in from Texas. Yep. Guys, Greg Davis at Texas was the same offensive corner when Vince Young was at Texas.
Wow.
Okay? Did he bring his system to Iowa? No, it was the same place. So then when Greg Davis leaves and Brian Ferentz takes over, it's the same place that Ken O'Keefe, Greg Davis, it's Kirk Ferentz. He's not going to change his offense.
No.
So here's the thing. When you say get rid of the offensive coordinator with Brian Ferentz, I think that's what Kirk wants.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants something
that's
different.
That's a good point.
And if you're winning 8 to 11 games a season, why?
Right.
Well, and the quarterback talent's been pretty poor. I mean, outside of a handful
Ricky
of years.
Stanzi,
Ricky
maybe.
Stanzi, Ricky obviously Stanzi. Drew Tate. Pretty
Drew
good quarterback.
Tate. Heisman Kennedy. Brad Banks for a year.
Oh, yeah.
Early in, they had it going early on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd say year 3 through year 7, were kind of, they had 2 Big Ten championships. Now, remember, that was also the time where I believe Ohio State in there, they missed Ohio State a couple games, and Ohio State at the tail end of Cooper wasn't great.
Yes.
And then Tressel took over.
That is correct.
Right? And then the rise of Wisconsin and Michigan State, I mean, Wisconsin had some great teams in the 90s, 3 Rose Bowls. But really, there was that vacuum with Tressel getting fired, Penn State stuff that just hit the fan. Rich Rod at Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
For a while there, it was like the Big 3 went down and Michigan State and Wisconsin and Iowa became like, oh, gosh. I think Iowa had an undefeated season. Michigan State went to the playoff. We had Wisconsin. You know, Brett won 3 Big Ten championships from 10 to 12. Like, that's probably not going to happen again in a very long time. There was 3 things that hit the Big Ten like that.
Yes.
And that's what made Ohio State go get Urban Meyer, what led to Jim Harbaugh, what led to James Franklin. And now that's why we have the solidification of what is now the Big Ten East. Yeah. You got to look at the whole history of it.
Yeah. Well,
it's hard to fathom those teams being bad again.
Right. It is. And they were bad at the same time.
Exactly. That's a great point, Jay.
Speaking of things hitting the Big Ten, watching some of the Wisconsin-Iowa game, the thought that they could go 11-1, then watching the Oregon-Washington game
Oh, my goodness.
The Big Ten needs those teams. Because those are really talented, really exciting teams to watch.
It was the opposite of like watching them. Oh, so I was watching, I was in the studio watching Iowa, Wisconsin, and we were flipping back and forth watching the Oregon, Washington. It's a totally different type of game.
Yeah, it is.
It's just a it's like a totally different league. Well, I guess it is.
Yeah. Speed, right?
A lot of speed out there.
Seems like that's the biggest difference. Mm.
But the problem is, a lot of times when you play these teams, like Iowa will go play Oregon, and they'll start to look like Iowa a little bit. Like, they'll, like, slow him down and make you, like, molasses, like, you know?
The hex the Big Ten throws
just
over
weird.
You.
It's just strange. But remember Nebraska, they're doing really well. Like, they're going to boat race the Big Ten. They come in, they never won a Big Ten championship.
That's crazy. Tell me about your sponsors that make this
Iroquois Federal. What about Bob Guido, the legend? That guy does a lot of commercial lines, a lot of commercial loans. Bob Guido's the man. Mark McHale, Ryan Lowry, Brenda Crane on your residential mortgage side. They are great at Iroquois Federal, located in Savoy and Champaign, for all of your financing needs. You got to check out Iroquois Federal. Kyle at IPG Insurance. Yeah. Kyle Lewis is my insurance agent. Kyle at IPGINS.com. He's I personally use for auto, home, habitational. Insurance rates are skyrocketing. You can ask Lon and whatnot. You really haven't got to have an agent that knows what they are doing. And, of course, Donnie, our guy, our owner at Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown neglected Gifford, still haven't sold Gordyville building. It's still for sale. But if you want to go check out that building and get dinner, go check out Long Branch Steakhouse and get some of the fried pickles.
Homecoming's coming up, Pipes.
We invented it.
And we'll be at Pia's on Friday.
Yes, we will. That's awesome.
Come out and hang out. If you got any more questions for Jay, hit us up, 217-359-2255. We'll finish up with him on the other side. This is The Drive.
Hey, Illini fans, it's the best time of the year. Homecoming. We can't wait to see you back on campus and at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, October 21st versus Wisconsin. Make sure to get in town early Friday for the homecoming parade and pep rally. Tailgating, family, homecoming, and Illinois football. What could be better than that? Get tickets at fightingillini.com.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Elevate your exfoliation game with Merle Norman. Say goodbye to dry, patchy, rough skin with the Advanced Exfoliating Charcoal Scrub. It's packed with detoxifying charcoal and mineral-rich volcanic sand for fun, gritty, at-home, microdermabrasion-style facial treatment that results in an instantly polished, more visibly radiant complexion. Get instantly nitty-gritty pretty skin with Merle Norman's Exfoliating Charcoal Scrub. Available now at Merle Norman.
Reach your savings goals. Busey Bank CD specials can help. Watch your money grow with competitive rates and offers. Visit busey.com/CD rates visit your local service center, or call 1-800-67-BUSY today. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Finishing up here with Jay Layman. Any other texts, hit us up, 217-359-2255. Jay, I want to ask you this. It was hard not to, like you mentioned, after Purdue, after Nebraska, kind of say, all right, a bowl game seems unrealistic, probably won't happen. What would it mean to flip that and for Brett to be able to have that comeback to where this is a bowl season and maybe momentum isn't totally lost after last year's 8-win year.
I think it's huge. I think we were on life support after last week. And I think if you can get to the bye week, especially at 4-4, go out and recruit and say, listen, we had a blip. We had some injuries.
Right.
That's not us. We were not solid up front like we needed to be. But here's the thing. Brett will let stuff slip out in his press conference. Like, he goes like, yeah, you know, I probably should have really gone through more game prep, how to get ready for a game with these guys. I just kind of assumed that they got it. He said, we need to spend more time on that. What's interesting to me is, from our perspective, okay, we thought this program had taken the next step.
Yeah.
But Brett said in his post-game press conference, I went in at halftime and said, congratulations, you guys graduated. Now let's go out and win this game. And it just it got me into the mentality of, well, wait a second. When all those seniors and NFL players left, not only did the experience left, but that mentality of the expectation to win.
Interesting.
Left. Because why else would Brett say that at halftime?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we might see it as a program as like, we're really growing. Where they're saying like, man, we don't know if we can do this.
Yep.
Right? And so I think to your point, hey, we get to 4-4 and we get to 6 wins somehow. I think it says, okay, listen, we had a special group year 2 with some really dynamic DBs. We were solid this year. We weren't as good as we wanted to be, but hey, we're still building. I think if you go 4 wins, 5 wins, it's still – you feel like it's a step back.
I would agree. Yeah, 100%. I hate this time of the show because we're running out of time with Jay, so we got to go quick here. If the players, 217 said, if the players don't make the trip, like Keith Randolph wasn't able to make the trip to Maryland, he asked if they go to the Smith Center or do they just stay at their house and like bug all their neighbors for watching the game?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, they're probably at the Smith Center doing a ton of rehab.
Yes.
All the time. So they stayed back because they wanted to rehab. Now, if you don't travel and you're not hurt, you probably can watch it with your buddies at a house, or they have some big screens at the Smith Center. I'm sure they're there hanging
out. I'm sure. How about Wisconsin?
Yeah, so, I mean, here's the deal with Wisconsin. And I said this. Everybody thought that it was like because Matt Rhule showed up, Nebraska was going to be great. And because Luke Fickell showed up, Wisconsin's going to be great. Listen, Nebraska was a total rebuild. We should have beat them. That's neither here nor there.
Amen.
Wisconsin had more pieces of the puzzle. But this is not the dominant Wisconsin teams of years past where they've won 11, sometimes 12 games in a season. It's just not there. They're still searching for an identity as well. Their quarterback's been banged up. They haven't had a great offensive identity. And defensively, they've given up a lot in the pass game. Even Georgia Southern had Clay Helton put up like 200 yards passing against them. I mean, Washington State carved them up quite a bit.
Yeah, they did.
So this is not a rock-solid Wisconsin team. We can beat this football team. I think it's going to be going. I think it'll be in the fourth quarter if we play it. We can't play, and again, it's going to come down to the critical situations. Can we win the critical times?
Defensively, when Jim Leonard was there, they pretty much year in and year out, with the exception of that last season for Paul Christ, had a top notch defense. What's maybe different about them this year? It doesn't seem like they're in that same tier.
And defensively,
yeah.
Well, I mean, they had Jimmy Leonard there for years, had continuity. Now we have Jim Leonard. Hopefully, that's helping us, right? So they had the continuity of the scheme. Mike Tressel is a guy that's a Mark D'Antonio disciple, right? He was at Michigan State for years, and kind of that no fly zone. Trey Waynes, Darquez Denard, 2014 defense that was really good. And they really wanted to play elite cornerback defense. And they just don't have the corners right now to really play that well. And you can see that defensively. They also don't have the outside linebackers they're accustomed to having. There's been some really good outside linebackers that come out of Wisconsin, most notably T.J. Watt. Might be the best defensive player in all of football now in the NFL, but Joe Schobert and Vince Beagle, and I could go through the list. They've had some really good outside linebackers in that 3-4 scheme. They haven't had that this year yet. Piotrowski's decent. Andrew Van Ginkle making tons of plays for Miami Dolphins. Huh, Kyle? Shut up for you, bud. Okay. So they've had some really good outside backers. They just don't have that force right now, what we're used to seeing.
We know Maryland was more geared to a pass attack. Wisconsin, like you said, is one of the more productive rushing attacks out there. So was Nebraska, and we saw what happened. What do you think this Illinois defense is well-equipped to get in the trenches with this team? And they did it last year. Obviously, some of the names are different this year. Can they slow down the rushing attack of the Badgers?
I think that's a big question. I mean, I think our linebackers are playing way better than they did early in the year. We were getting washed like a laundromat. I mean, here's the deal. Like, when I say washed, as a linebacker, you kind of – if you just keep shuffling, and never attack downhill, you kind of get washed to the sideline as the linemen come up and climb to you. I know this. 2004, I'm playing Minnesota. They were in a heavy zone scheme. They would sprint to the sideline. You try to get in your gap, and you're just running sideways all the time, and the running back's running past you. At some point, you got to take a read step and attack downhill, and when you attack downhill, that takes the air out between you and the ball carrier, and you eliminate his ability to make a two-way cut. You don't want him to be able to make a two-way cut. It's either go this way or that way, right? So I know where you're going. We're playing better coming downhill. Dylan Rosiak's an example of that, the tackle in space that you mentioned. Kanena Odaluga.
That's tough.
Okay? Kanena Odaluga playing better. Crute's playing better. Tariq Barnes has been hurt. So I think we're playing better. I do think we really want Keith Randolph, obviously, back for this football game. We're going to need him. Because this is a better O-line as far as run blocking than we've seen. They're better than with Nebraska. They're better at Maryland than run blocking. So probably the best run blocking O-line we've seen. And they're going to still run the ball. They're going to run it more spread out than they have before Wisconsin. But they're still going to run the football.
Inside that locker room, Caleb Griffin hits that field goal. I always say gold for some reason. What is that feeling like for that team to get that win?
Yeah, that's euphoric. I mean, it really is. I mean, the football is such a strange game because the losses you feel more. And the wins, you feel more.
And you got them for 7 days.
And you got them for – this ain't basketball. We're playing a tournament, the Maui Invitational. We lost at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're playing at 10. it's just – or baseball. Like,
another one tomorrow.
Yeah, Ernie Banks, let's play two. You know, like, what's the first one? Like, what's the first one matter, right? It's just – they just mean more. And football is such an emotional game the stakes are just higher.
Yep.
And I think that's why fans like it so much. It means more to fans,
it
right?
It does.
It's like there's just not that many games. And so, but I think when you win a game unexpected on the road, I remember 2006 Michigan State. We were not a good football team. We beat Michigan State on the road. I remember just being euphoric. You're just like, I think we were 28-point dogs. I mean, we were dogs. I mean, and we beat them. It's like, it's the greatest feeling in the world. I mean, you're like, yeah. So
that's awesome.
For at least for a day, you're like, right. I'm the man. I'm legit. I can do whatever I want. So it's exciting for him.
Good stuff.
Is that John L. Smith?
John L. Smith. That's the John game he slapped Smith. Himself after the game. So go YouTube John L. Smith slapping himself. After he slapped himself after Illinois beat him because we were that bad and they were pretty good. They had some guys, Kellen Davis, Drew Stanton.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of dudes on that team. Javon Ringer.
Wow.
J.U. Colcrick. Mm. He's a big boy.
Big guy.
Well, we enjoy Mondays every time, but they're that much more enjoyable after a win. And thanks to the great sponsors, we got to shout them out one more time.
Iroquois Federal, your one-stop shop for all your lending needs. Bob, Mike, Mark McHale. Bob Guido, Ryan Lowry, Brenda Crane, you got to call them up. Iroquois Federal, stop by. Savoy and Champagne, Kyle Lewis, Kyle at IPGINS.com. Kyle for IPG Insurance for all your auto, home, life, habitational insurance. And, of course, Long Branch Steakhouse. You need some steak, go check out Long Branch Steakhouse. And don't forget the fried pickles.
Love it. Great job as always, Jay.
Yeah, buddy.
Fun stuff, time. Jay. Luke Altmaier on the other side of this break. He'll join us on the Tapman Towing phone line. Stick with us. It's the drive.
With the leaves and temperatures beginning to fall, it's time to make sure those furnaces are in great running order. Get that furnace tuned up so it doesn't let you down on the cold nights. Dogtown is the People's Choice number one HVAC company again in 2023. Ask about the current 0% financing offer on all Lennox high comfort systems and single component units for qualifying applicants. The number's 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
Hey Illini fans, it's the best time of the year, homecoming. We can't wait to see you back on campus and at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, October 21st versus Wisconsin. Make sure to get in town early Friday for the homecoming parade and pep rally. Tailgating, family, homecoming, and Illinois football. What could be better than that? Get tickets at fightingillini.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J.